Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn that off.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I'm your host, The Mage. What's up, boys? How we feeling?
What's going on? What's up? What's up?
Ready to rock and roll, man. It's game week. Game week. I'm waiting for this.
So that voice that you hear that you might not be familiar with is none other than YouTube's The Pest. That's right. Tino and I met with him at FanFest, as we did a lot of people. We also met with the Hub at FanFest. We were there with Entertainer, so Talking Giants was there, Giants Rush. So a lot of content creators that we spoke about that we said that we were going to get together and do some joint stuff with. So first one on is going to be The Pest. What's going on, brother? How are you? Tell everybody a little bit about your YouTube channel, where they can find you.
All right. Well, first and foremost, thank you guys for having me on. It's a big fan of you guys' work. I am Pest the Analyst of PTA Sports. I am a YouTube and Twitch streamer now. On my YouTube channel, I mostly cover the New York Football Giants. I talk about some other things when I feel like it, but I mostly cover the Giants. I am not quite really a news channel. I'm more of a reaction channel to things that are going on. So you're not going to get like a lot of breaking news from me. You'll more come to me to hear what I thought about what just happened. And then on Twitch, I play video games and I also talk about sports on there as well. You can find me on either one by searching for PTA Sports. So that's who I am. And I'm absolutely excited to be here.
Good, man. We're glad to have you. And if you all know who my co-hosts are by now, it is Tino Rodriguez. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Tino Rodriguez. I'm on Discord at the end. And Murph, when he's not burning down the Clapback Sports account, can be found on Clapback on Discord Sports.
Well, know something funny. I just want to jump in. Obviously, I've been off Twitter, as most people who listen to this know. So I went on today, and I saw Murph burning Twitter to the ground. And I saw some comments that were like, dude, you're really on it today. And I was like, what have I missed? Like, I felt like I missed so much, but yet so little. You know, I come back and you're
mid-season. I took three days off, and I was ready to go this morning. Monty Ball started the fire, man. Monty Ball, Wisconsin running back, who was supposed to do this great thing up in Denver, out of left field, thrashing the Giants. I guess he's a big Denver Broncos super fan. I think he had 5 touchdowns for them. So, you know, I like to light the flame and then watch it all burn down, right?
You guys tend to choose violence on Twitter, which I thoroughly enjoy. I'm like, I like to hearken to myself to like Heath Ledger's Joker, right? Because I just want to watch the world burn. Like, I don't want necessarily be involved with the burning. I just like to sit back and watch it happen. So lots of times I'm just laughing my head off at the stuff that you guys are saying on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Speaking of Twitter, real quick, I did see the news update. Speaking of Denver greats, Mark Schlereth is calling the game.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
that's the elephant in the room here.
You want to talk about Twitter? I asked him earlier. I asked him if he would please not drink a lot pregame this time, like he did last time against us. I think he called the Seattle game, right?
Yep.
It's going to be even worse this time because he's a Bronco.
Yeah. He's going to be in the tailgate with us, Murph. He's going to be the parking lot with us.
Shout out to Mark Schlereth. He'll probably be pounding Miller Lights pregame, no doubt, and talking a lot of shit about the Giants.
Oh, that goes without saying. And you know, it's funny because, like, I like him a lot, except for when he's talking about the Giants. Like, except for when he's shitting on the Giants. But aside from that, I like him a lot. I think he's hilarious.
I mean, I honestly respect his troll game. He's definitely he definitely shoots back. So, but I won't be watching the game because I'll be at the game.
Will happen? Yeah, we will be at the game. You said Miller Lights. I think he's a Milwaukee best guy. But yeah, we'll be at the game. Mage, this is the part of the show where Major goes quiet because he's super depressed again about this. Little does he know, guys, I'm working on trying to find Major ticket. Just so I could see that smiling face of his.
He's not going to go. He's going to Denver, man.
He's going. You're going to Denver.
He has a flight to Denver tomorrow.
What is this for? Well, why are you going to Denver? What's the point of that?
I'm flying out Friday night, so I won't be available all weekend. That's all.
So you're going. You're going to go to the city of the team that we're playing.
Yeah,
just a coincidence, right?
That's it.
Just a coincidence.
Mays just wants to get high in Colorado.
He's gonna. Okay. I know what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. You're gonna go to Denver with all of your Giants swag, and you're going to troll Broncos fans. That's what you're gonna do.
No, I'm just avoiding hanging out with these guys this weekend. And the reason is because they were both supposed to hook me up with tickets for week one. Murph for 3 months had me under the impression I was going to a Broncos game, only pulled the rug out from under my feet. And then, I don't know, Tino was supposed to let me know. So I'm just salty as fuck, best. That's all.
Man, it really be your own people, huh?
It really is. You know what?
I don't want to hear it, man.
Brothers, shut the fuck up. Can I meet you? I consider both of these guys brothers, you know, even with Tino, I'm like, all right, Tino, yeah, let's hang out. Yeah, cool, Mage, let's do it. You know, never wants to hang out with me. The only time he hangs out with me is when I got the tickets for FanFest because I had an extra ticket. That's the only time I hung out with Tino.
I just said I'm looking for tickets for
guys, were my friends, were my brothers. But you know what? I'm getting emotional, Pess. Let's just move on.
Wait. Before we move on, like, I got the solution. I got the solution to this. This is the reason why they don't want to hang out with you, because you're the hot friend that makes them look like the ugly friend. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why.
That is
a good point, Pess. I thank you.
I mean, listen, you a big burly teddy bear looking son of a bitch, man. You're in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like they don't have a shot when you're around, and that's the reason why they're like, nah, we gotta tell him we're gonna get him tickets, but then in reality, we're not gonna get him tickets because we ain't gonna get no action if he's with us. That's what's really going on here. They told me this, you know, in the DMs on Twitter. I wasn't supposed to say nothing, but screw that, man. I got no loyalties, you know what I'm saying?
You know, that is a good point too. I think Tino was a little offended too, because at FanFest, everybody's like, oh, are you the Mage? And I had to be like, hey, you know what? This is Tino, the guy that also does the podcast with us. You guys know him? And people are like, no, who's he? And I was like, no, he's part of Clapback Sports. So I think Tino's a little offended by that. He wasn't as recognizable at FanFest as I was. So,
you know, I had to take
and it had nothing to do with the fact that I was wearing a sweatshirt that said Clapback Sports and the word fight on it. But I digress, though.
I missed some key moments there. Keep my name out your mouth. Keep my name out your damn mouth. I go step aside to take a call quick, and you're telling me I'm mad and get recognized. Mage wanted to be recognized. Mage wanted to be recognized so hard he brought out merch that doesn't even exist just for himself. That's how bad he needed the attention. You know what, Mage? Not everyone could be like you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, some men just want to watch the world burn. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this.
Well, obviously, you missed the whole spill. It's true. I think Pess made a lot of good points. He now moves up to possibly my favorite guest on the show.
Bam.
But let's get into it, though. So,
I mean, you want to talk about the world burning?
I want to talk about – I know you got notes here. You want to talk about trades in the final 53. I want to get into something, though. The unofficial depth chart came out today. Unofficial. And fans are losing their mind about it. Not to mention that after the unofficial depth chart came out, the New York Giants released their kick returner that was listed on the unofficial depth chart. So, I mean, what are we making of the unofficial depth chart, guys?
Kyle Rudolph wasn't even on the depth chart.
Yes, he was. He was listed as a second tight end.
He's number two. He's number two tight end on
the original depth chart did not have Kyle Rudolph on it.
The unofficial one that the Giants released, it had Kyle Rudolph and Evan Engram on it.
That's not what Art said earlier.
No. It was on there.
Because he was making fun of it for the fact that it's unofficial for a reason.
You could go to Giants.com instead of just reading everything that you read on Twitter and believing it.
Dude, I'm a headline reader.
You definitely.
That's why I love Pat Leonard and Dan Duggan and Matt Lombardo.
Twitter's warning was really just for you. It was said, look, there might be other stuff in this article. Do you want to read it? Because the headline could be misleading. And you're just like, fuck that. And you just retweet it without even reading the article, huh?
It wasn't an article, but I did do that, yes.
Why? I mean, the Giants depth chart is out there. Kyle Rudolph was listed.
And it's Rudolph season, baby.
Tight end one. Tight end one. Been tight
end all day on Sunday.
I mean, at the moment Rudolph signed to the Giants, he was tight end one, okay? I don't even know who this Evan Engram guy is anymore.
I don't even know who Evan Engram is anymore,
okay? That's no kin of mine, all right?
I never knew who he was.
I've been waiting for this arbitrary ass name of Evan Engram to like be at the end of a sentence that starts with Giants trade. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've been waiting for. Giants trade Evan Engram. For what? A can of paint. Good deal. Good deal. We win that trade off top.
Never nothing. The Vikings were able to get Chris Herndon. Like, the Jets got something at Chris Herndon. I take a Chris Herndon package for Evan Engram at this point. That's how bad it's gotten. Give me a fourth. Give me a fourth. We'll call it a day. Just get him off the fucking team. Honestly, though, this injury is a blessing in disguise, guys, because he's out of the red zone. He's off the offense. I mean, this is beautiful. You know,
it's a blessing and it's a curse because now we're a little short on tight end, though.
And we'll be all right. We'll be okay.
We're going to be fine.
The question that I really want to ask you guys, though, because the biggest uproar from the unofficial depth chart was Nate Solder starting over Matt Peart at right tackle. How much are we believing that?
It's true. It's true.
Talked about it last week, by the way.
Not to plug another podcast, but there was a podcast on last night where Paul Dottino was on, okay? And he said last night, don't be surprised if you see Nate Solder start over Matt Peart. He said that last night out of his own mouth. He said Matt Peart does not look good, which hurts for me because I love Matt Peart, but I always thought that he was a little soft. That's my personal opinion, all right? But it's true because Paul Dottino said this last night. Don't be surprised. I see it. I'm not surprised.
I'm also not surprised. Again, we talked about it last week. Mage, we were at the game. I mentioned it to you. Again, grain of salt. But I said, at right tackle, Nate Solder looked, and I again, grain of salt, better. I'd say good, but I don't want people to think I'm saying Nate Solder's good. But he looked better than anything we had out there. And it's what we got. He's the best of a bad situation. But, dude, you know, I heard for a full season that he can never play right tackle. I saw him at right tackle. It wasn't that bad. And that speaks wonders to what Peart's doing. If someone who's playing not that bad is going to start for us at right tackle, but I don't have a problem with it. It's not a surprise. Let's put it that way. It's not a surprise. I expected this.
Murph?
I mean, we knew they were bringing him back for a reason, right? Like, we knew they weren't going to just cut Solder after they got rid of Zeiler. So, obviously, they saw something that they could salvage. They've talked up Peart all offseason. And I mean, I don't think anyone can sit there and say they haven't given him the chance to win that job. Now, I'll also go on record and say, you know, he's going to be playing on Sunday. The line's going to rotate, whether we like it or not. If Solder goes in there and gives up a sack immediately on the first drive, you can bet your ass Matt's coming in. And then Solder could come back in, could not. I mean, that's just how this shit's going to be, dude, until they figure it out.
I want to feed off that because we can tie it to the 53 talk, but I do find it more concerning, especially with the Solder talk, that I knew you'd mention the rotating line, and that's the thing. We're going to still rotate people, but it's bothering me that we made the cuts that we did on the offensive line, and we're still going to go in this with a rotating line mindset. I don't know how that's possible. Like, I think that's the recipe for disaster. You can't just have depth guys coming in there rotating. I think that's
I don't think it's anyway. A rotation, though, Tina. It's not going to be like last year where they're like, yo, we got nothing, so we have to make the most out of nothing. They still don't know who the fuck their line is. So in order to figure that out, if somebody makes an error or makes a mistake, it's unfortunate that we're in week one, but you might have to pull them out. And that guy might go back in. Like, that's just kind of where we are, dude. Like, it fucking sucks. I hate being a negative fan, and I said it on cut day, but, like, it's wild to me that we're going into the season, and this was a week ago, we're going into the season with four open spots on the O-line.
All right, so
interchangeable spots.
Let me jump in here for a minute because I want to give credit to our boy Paisano 21 Rich, who said that he thinks that it could just be a matter of people getting up to speed. Matt Peart missed some time with the back injury, right? And then he's also missed some practice time as well. Maybe Nate Solder is just the healthiest to start week one. And I forget who it was, Murph, but somebody brought up the fact that our starting right tackle is going to see some premier veteran edge rushers right off the start. Week one versus Denver, week two versus Washington. So it might not be Nate Solder's job to keep, but they could be easing Matt Peart in possibly week three. Give him some more time. Now, the other thing, too, is let's not forget this team added a lot of pieces to the offensive line as well. Break this in. Price. Who else did we Matt Skura we added to the practice squad. Today, the Giants added an offensive tackle, Corey Cunningham, to the practice squad. Guys, these are players that are going to need time to develop and adjust. I think our offensive line for week one isn't going to be the same offensive line that we see in week eight. I think, again, I don't like Nick Gates at center. Murph has really brought this up quite a bit.
Haven't heard this show.
I have, but you're still saying this? You don't like Nick Gates at center still?
Let's start with this. What do you like about Nick Gates at center?
Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to give you guys a little bit more background on me then. Okay. First and foremost, I've played football my entire life. I've coached football. I am a defensive line coach. I've been a defensive coordinator. I'm a trenches guy. I love the trenches. That's what I'm paying attention to when I'm watching football. I love Nick Gates because he is nasty, okay? He's not the best blocker. Understood, okay? But he is mean. He is nasty. He wants to fight every down. And that's a guy that I want in my trenches. You don't have to always be the best, but you need to want to murder someone on the field every time the ball snaps. And that's Nick Gates. And I love that attitude.
Right.
That's the reason why Matt Peart's not good. Listen.
We don't want to take Nick.
Hold on. Taking Nick off the field.
We don't want to bench him.
We're moving him to guard.
Gates out of the lineup.
We love Nick Gates, but not at center.
And you know what? Hold on, Tino. Hold on, Tino, and hold on, Mage. He's going to ask you a question, Pess.
The snaps are way too inconsistent, especially Tino had first-hand view. I had first-hand view of it at the Patriots game, but high snaps, low snaps. If Danny has to take his eyes off the field because he's worried about the snaps, that's how you get in a lot of one read situations also, because he's worried about getting his fucking clock cleaned, but he has to worry about the snap being high, being low. So I like Nick Gates. Move Nick Gates to guard, or like Murph has even said, move Nick Gates to right tackle.
Yeah, Pess. So I wanted to ask you that. How do you feel about that? Why can't not maybe? Not in games, but why can't Nick Gates go out and play some tackle reps in practice?
Tackle?
Why not? That's what he played in college.
Because I like Gates. I like Gates on the interior.
Gates also played reps.
We need some fucking nastiness on the edge, though, man. That's my whole thing. Is like, you're right. Peart's soft, and so is Solder. We need. I'm not campaigning for Gates to go play tackle, but Gates can bring a lot to this line in a lot of different places. And we just acquired all these guys that don't necessarily have as much versatility as Gates. So why can't Gates slide all the way on the right side for other two positions?
Pess, here's the other thing, too. You're a football guy. I'm a football guy. I still coach. I'm dealing with it right now. I coach group one. What's the easiest offensive lineman position to probably hide? Where can you bury someone? Center.
You can't
get away in the NFL with a shitty guard and a shitty tackle. You can't. And Gates, like what you just said, all the reasons you love him is why we've been pounding the table for guard, because that nastiness is needed in our run game.
So I would be okay. So we're saying slot Gates over to left guard and put Billy Price in. Billy Price.
I like Matt Skura a lot, but he's on our practice squad. He's going to need a couple.
Right.
Yep.
But right. I think Matt Skura is a starting center in the NFL. The guy's. He's played really well in the past.
And also, guys, I talk about this all the time, but I'm going to continue to do it. We were fortunate to have zero injuries last year. So there's going to be shuffle between development and progression and also injuries this year. I mean, it's going to happen.
And then on top of all that, if you throw in a mixing offensive line, Gates is going to be one of the only ones who know the playbook. You're bringing in Billy Price and all these other guys. They're not going to be able to run guard. Not on a week's notice. Not on a short week's notice. You got to throw a guy who knows the playbook at guard. I mean, let's put it this way. If you don't, the running in the passing game is going to take a hit. It's just going to be very stagnant if we try to keep Gates at center. That's my only take on it. He's just not that good, and I think he'd be better at guard.
Again, I mean, why this offensive line for week one might not be the same offensive line we see in week eight.
Yep, I'd be okay with Gates at guard. I'd be okay if we push him over to left guard. I'd be fine with that.
Even right guard,
and bring Will back over to left guard. I'm cool with that too. I can live with that. I need Gates on the field.
Gates is not leaving the field.
Either. Yeah, we're not anti Gates. We just think center isn't necessarily meant for him. And honestly, it isn't because he wasn't a center. He didn't come in as a center.
That was his first year ever playing.
I thought he did fine for his first year as center. I thought he did fine. There was inconsistency, but it was his first year doing it, right? And so, you know, he needed the reps. But like Nick Gates sets the tone. Nick Gates sets the tone, and that's the reason why he's a captain.
That's the reason why he's a captain
because he has set the tone since he's gotten there, and it seemed like that move to center revitalized him. Like, it just made him this totally different animal, and that's why I'm like, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to just leave him there. Let him be the quarterback of the line. Let him make the slide protection calls. Let him do all that.
I disagree with you, though, Pess. I think he's terrible at calling protections. I don't think Nick Gates is a very good center. I don't think he's good at calling protections. It comes back to the game last year. Who was it? Against Chicago? With that 2 minute that they're trying to draw them off sides. Nick Gates doesn't even have his hand on the ball. How can you draw a defense off sides when it doesn't even look like
you're I killed Nick Gates for that. I killed him for that.
Last year's offensive line, Nick Gates did fine at center. I don't think he was a great center or even an average center at best. I think Shane Lemieux was also not very good last year.
One of the worst in the league. No doubt.
Again, if we're going to do this, take Gates at her center position. Same thing that you guys have said. I've said for a while, especially with Jonathan Harrison, who's no longer on the team though. But if I'm going to have one weak position on the offensive line, let it be center. I'd rather have started Jonathan Harrison at center and then move Nick Gates over to either guard or tackle, whatever it might be.
I also still think guard is way weaker than tackle. Obviously, we could say we have depth at tackle. Guard's still our weakest position.
Without question.
And we're not going to get away with interior pressure. I mean, you'd know that more than anyone. The last thing Danny needs is pressure in his face. If Danny gets pressure in his face, the offense is even more fucked than it actually is.
Let's stop there and stay on the subject. Who's starting at left guard on Sunday?
You're going on about the same shit.
Let's make it into a question. Who's starting at left guard on Sunday?
But again, I'm talking about Tino's point, and I just keep talking. But the reason why Andrew Thomas looked so terrible against New England, right? Andrew Thomas as a tackle was doing everything that he was supposed to: drive his man wide, right, get him behind the quarterback so that the quarterback has a pocket to climb. Daniel Jones was getting killed because of an interior pass rush. He had no pocket to climb. That's what made Andrew Thomas look so terrible, because this guy was getting to Daniel Jones because there was no pocket to climb. So go ahead, Murph. What was your question?
Let's stay on the guards, man. I don't think Shane Lemieux is starting on Sunday. So What the fuck's the plan? Because they waived Wiggins today, no? And I mean, that was their like go-to guy.
I mean, wholeheartedly, like, I don't know what the plan is.
Who the fuck is starting at left guard on Sunday? Like, is it going to be Price? Is it going to be the other Ravens guy? I mean, who else? I'm pretty sure they put Wiggins on the practice squad.
Or
waived him.
Oh man!
So like, is Shane healthy or is Shane not healthy? Like, I just cannot fathom him playing with this injury.
I mean, supposedly, this is based on the things that I've seen. Supposedly, he's been practicing fully. Maybe he starts. I wouldn't start him. But then the problem you have is who can come in and play guard right now that's on this roster? Is Brinson ready? Is Price ready? I don't know if they are. And if you put them in, then you're going to have to run very basic, generic stuff. We can't be running all kinds of crazy pulling guard plays if these guys aren't ready. And here's the thing. These are all NFL players. These are veterans. They've been in the league for a while, okay? Techniques don't change. Terminology does. So, like, it's not like these are rookies, right? So maybe one of them could come in and play that position, but it's such a question mark for me because I don't think I'd start Shane Lemieux, but I don't know who would start in this place.
I mean, dude, it's a big concern. Then now you see the Gates take. It kind of unravels itself, dude.
I've just been kind of unraveling with itself. The fact that Shane wasn't going to be playing, but.
And look, even if Shane played, let's not sit here and act like that's the be-all, end-all. He wasn't
again,
good.
The Kenny Wiggins wave is huge because that was their plug-and-play guy. There was no other guy that was on the bench that they could take and just put in. So one of the new guys is probably going to play some reps this weekend.
If I had to
at left guard.
Bryce, you think they're
getting... Or Will's going to go to the left, and our boy Gates might slide.
I don't... Because where do you put Billy Price? Where do you put... I mean, you got to think, or like we were saying, I mean, one of these other guys, they got to get reps at center. I mean, they're natural centers. I don't know, man. And honestly, it's super concerning. I'm starting to really panic internally. This is worse than I actually.
One, I don't think we should expect any surprises. I think it's going to be Andrew Thomas at left, Shane Lemieux at guard, Nick Gates at center, Will Hernandez at right, and Nate Solder apparently at right tackle.
But do you honestly think Shane makes it?
Like, that would be a surprise game. Yeah, that would be a surprise.
You know what? As I'm sitting here thinking about this, right? I'm just going back in time. Okay. And I actually remember there were times, not all the time, but there were times where the pairing of Shane Lemieux and Andrew Thomas was fine. There were times, not all the time.
It was better than Will and him.
And Will.
It was better than sure. Will and him.
Yes.
So if it's going to be Lemieux, you're not moving Will anywhere. Will staying on the right because the pairing of Lemieux and Thomas was better. I don't know how healthy Lemieux is.
Will Hernandez was also recovering from COVID too.
Right, that's true.
I mean, it kicked his ass quite a bit, but we've said it here though too. I agree with you. I prefer to pair Will with the less talented tackle though. So, which in this case would be Nate Solder anyway. So you keep him on the right side.
I also, if you look at the reps in preseason, he really only took right side, right guard reps.
He did. So
it seems like the team's very, I mean, it's a very known thing. Like he was not taking reps at left.
Hess brings up a good point, which is the point that Murph was making. If Shane Lemieux starts, how much of the game do we think he makes it through? He has a torn patella tendon.
Right? I can't imagine the man plays a full game, dude. I, without doing any damage to it, zero damage to it, I just don't know how that happens.
Well, they're gonna give that man a cortisone shot before the game. They're gonna give him another cortisone shot at half. They're going to tape the shit out of it.
Yeah.
He's gonna wear the most tightest brace he can possibly fit on his leg.
You're right.
That's the only way he's gonna make it through this game.
You're right. And I don't love the thought of that, man.
The backup guard for the Denver game is Brendison.
That's what the depth chart says?
Yeah,
Brendison. The unofficial depth chart says, and Billy Gates is the backup center.
Gotcha.
So, look, I mean, unless they're spending 16 hours a day with Brendison to get this guy ready.
No.
They're not. It's going to be Lemieux.
But to my point is that stretching Lemieux out there, I know we got to start him, but, like, we talked about the health last year. We always talk about the health of our offensive line. Bringing out a hurt Lemieux this early, who's already clearly hurt, Week one is not the best idea for this team long term. I mean, if that's all we got at guard right now, Bro, we got 17 right. games to play. 17. You know, 17.
I have to ask the question, and then we could go around the table. We'll go Tino, we'll go to Murph, and then we'll stop at best. This has got to be on Dave Gettleman. No? I know that we have supported Dave Gettleman here. We've supported a lot of decisions. We try to look at things, you know, from all perspectives. So we like to give the listener a view on everything. It's not just going to be a home review. It's not going to be pessimistic all the time. But this is a huge indictment on Dave Gettleman. Now, out there on Twitter, people are saying, well, Dave Gettleman should be gone if this is the case. And then people want a new GM with a new coach. I'm sorry. I don't want Joe Judge going anywhere, but I'm willing to give him this season. If Joe Judge has another season like last year where the team's not quitting, they're motivated, we put together some more wins, Dave Gettleman could be gone, but I don't think you're getting rid of Joe Judge at the same time. Joe Judge is a guy that I want here. But what are your thoughts on it? Start with Tino.
I mean, we've said it. I mean, we defend Dave, but it is on him. We weren't baffled during this year's draft where we didn't address offensive line at all. From the third round on, first two rounds, whatever. Third round on, little sketch. I didn't really understand it. Obviously, you never have enough corners, but when corners the strongest position on our team, and secondary is the strongest position on our team, I mean, you build on strengths, but you got to build on weaknesses. We didn't build on it at all. And like when you look at the disaster that's going on right now, man, I honestly, bias aside, look at all football. I don't remember a situation where a team was really doing what the Giants are doing. Cutting this many offensive linemen, going in with the idea that guys are going to come in and just like you're paper thin week one. I mean, I get it like to a certain extent, but I don't know, man. I don't love how they're handling this. And it obviously falls on Dave, but the lack of depth falls on Dave. But how they're handling this is just like, I don't know, man. It's a circus, dude. It doesn't make sense to me.
Part two, Tino. So should Dave be gone at the end of the season or should Joe Judge go with him?
It has nothing to do with Judge, though. Yeah, I mean, that has nothing to do with Judge. I mean, we obviously know, though, we talk about this worst-case scenario is the full mass blow-up because it's Danny and Saquon and everything, and, like, everything's lingering going into this year. Ingram's contract, which that's decided now. But, like, that none of that has anything to do with Judge. None of that has anything to do with Judge. Now, granted, though, I mean, we have nothing to say if a new GM comes in and he decides to do what he wants to do. That's a completely different situation. But should Judge leave? No. It has nothing to do with him. This is not Dave. It has nothing to do with Judge.
Murph.
I agree with Tino, but I disagree that Joe doesn't deserve any criticism. He's obviously involved in negotiations with roster building. One thing that Gettleman's done amongst all of his staff is give his staff a pretty big say. So I have to blame Judge a little bit for this offseason because they put their eggs in the basket, man. They really did. I mean, I'm pissed that they drafted Brightwell when there was multiple guard options available then. I'm not really upset about free agency because the crop wasn't really there. I would have liked to see a Gabe Jackson or somebody along a vet like that, Trey Turner, maybe as much as I didn't want him, someone that was a vet guard. But I mean, they put their eggs in the basket with this line. My biggest concern the entire time has always been Lemieux. But as the summer went on, I went on a rant about it this morning to Frank, like, dude, why does he deserve to start? He hasn't done shit besides be a physical specimen, man. I mean, I like him, but like, again, he hasn't really developed just like Shane. Shane's got a little bit better, I guess, but like, he was still one of the worst guards in the league last year. Gates is probably Gettleman's biggest success story, and he was an undrafted free agent. So Gettleman does definitely has to take some heat here. I mean, again, I'm still going to stick with my guns that Gettleman was just eventually going to retire. I've said it all along. I think that's always been in the cards. Now, you know, Joe's been involved, man. He plays the waiver wire every single day. So, I mean, this is his fault too. But I got to give credit where credit's due. They tried at the deadline of roster cuts. They got two guys, so let's see what they can do with it. It's pretty much like all we can do. You're right.
I think that's fair. I only say though, I mean, you have to think maybe Because, like, when you analyze that issue, right, the offensive line issue, yeah, so Judge probably has handling this year. So the draft, you're right. That could be
just, just this year.
I mean, criticize this year. But when you look at it as a whole, I don't think when we're done with this year, if offensive line is really the issue, you're going to look at just this year's offensive line as the issue. I think it's going to be more the overall body of work, which is why you then
put I mean,
yeah,
Gettleman. It's like 70-30. I mean, yeah, that's the way I'd say it. I mean,
I think you're right.
Gettleman, Judge believed in his guys, man. Yeah. And there's no doubting that, and there's no denying that. Like, he believed in his five guys. And so far, it hasn't looked good. But at the same time, fuck a preseason game against the Patriots. Yeah. You know, let's see what they got.
There was a lot said here. I know that everybody wants to jump down Dave Gettleman's throat about his tenure here, right? Hasn't been great. Like, if you have eyes, you can see that it hasn't been great. Has he made good moves? Yes. Has he had good drafts? Yes. Has he had terrible free agency signings? 100%. But I've always, you know, been in the school of thought that Dave Gettleman has 100% been working with his coaching staff in regards to who is on this team, okay? And so I can never give 100% of the blame on Dave Gettleman. Been plenty of times where I've been defending Dave Gettleman on Twitter for a move here or a move there, but I'm not going to sit here and be a homer. That's not in my DNA, okay? I'm too honest of a guy to sit here and pretend that everything is sunshine and lollipops here, okay? Dave Gettleman's ass is on the line right now, okay? And if things don't go well when Dave Gettleman's not here, I can't defend him. I can't. Okay, because your track record at this point isn't great. There's been a lot of ineptitude here in some of the things that you do, but I don't fully blame you, right? I blame you and the coaching staff, but ultimately, you're the guy that makes the decisions here. Okay, so I blame you more than I blame everyone else, but I also blame everyone else. But there's another factor that we're not talking about who we should be blaming. And that's these damn owners, okay? These owners are killing us. Steve Tisch, Dave Mayer, they're killing us. They're John Mayer, I'm sorry, they're killing us. All right. So, like, listen, if this season is bad, and as much as I love Joe Judge, if this season is bad, everything must go. Everything must go. All right. I love Joe Judge. Protect Joe Judge. I want Joe Judge to be successful and be our coach for 25, 30, 40, 50 years if he can do it. But if this don't go right based on the moves that y'all made up to this point with all your preparation and all your planning and all your attention to detail and all the things that you've talked about since you've gotten here, you know, everything must go. And it's time to just start. It's just time to just start over. That's just the way I feel.
I think the only reason I could buy in like feeling comfortable with that idea is because of the moves we just made in the draft. That's literally, as you're saying that, it's like, at least we positioned ourselves, and we've said this, if there was a time to do it. I mean,
it's right now.
But then it's a knock, and it's like, it's also like an alley-oop. Like,
so let's come back to earth.
Hold on 1 second, Murph. I kind of have a little bit of an issue with that though, Pess. But I understand where you're coming from, and I got a follow-up question due to it. So you talked about Dave Gettleman shopping for the coaching staff, right? Mm-hmm. You saw what James Betcher did and the number of ex-Cardinals that the Giants brought in.
Yes.
That looked like shit.
Yes.
Who was it? Eli Apple, they said, or didn't know the play. DeAndre Baker.
DeAndre Baker.
Didn't know the playbook. That's a huge indictment on the defense. Meanwhile, on James Betcher. Meanwhile, the offense looked good.
Yes.
Pat Shurmur had Danny going in the right direction, knew how to utilize Saquon. Offense looked really good. Now the roles are now reversed. Giants have a really good defense. But now you talk about ownership. John Mara. I don't think Jason Garrett was Joe Judge's hire. I think that was a John Mara hire. We all agreed on that here as well.
Well, shit, Joe Judge's in charge. Fire that asshole then. You fired the offensive line coach. Fire this asshole.
But this is the problem. Out of here too. This is the problem with the Giants, and this is the problem with the Mariners, is that they have Jason Garrett. Oh, who are, Murph knows this better. Jason Garrett's father has ties to the Mariners. So again,
Jason Garrett was a quarterback for the Giants.
Everybody, yeah, but listening it's like the to this,
once you're in, you're in. You're family for life, right? So they're not going to get rid of him. So that's the other issue. I think that's the biggest issue with this organization. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's John Mara. John Mara forcing Jason Garrett on Joe Judge. Now, you talk about clearing house. I love Joe Judge as a coach. Sounds like you do too.
Absolutely.
Also, clearing house means Patrick Graham is going to go. And we know the type of defense that we saw into this. That's why I don't agree with, if you're going to clear out the GM, you got to clear everybody out. Also, too, sometimes, yeah, I mean, you can have, you know, they always say that it rots from the fish head down. But you got a really good coaching staff here. We know that. I think it's possible to replace the GM if they want to keep this coaching staff, but I think we got a really good coaching staff. Now, my follow-up question is, when you say everything must go, like a liquidation sale there, Pess, does that include Daniel Jones as well?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Are you a Daniel Jones fan or no?
I always say this about Daniel Jones. I am not on the Daniel Jones train. I'm just in my car following that train from station to station. I'm trying to figure out where it's going. And if I don't like where it's going, then I'm turning my ass around. I'm going home. Okay. Like I don't think Daniel Jones is ass, but I don't think Daniel Jones is terrific either. I see flashes. Okay. There are times where I look at Daniel Jones and I'm like, yo, this kid got something. And then there's times where I see it and I'm like, yo, this kid's ass. Like this kid's a bum. Like I can't make a decision on Daniel Jones. And if I can't make a decision on Daniel Jones, right, well, then maybe we can make a decision about somebody else. As someone who's coached football, and that sounds super like pretentious, like I'm better than somebody else. I'm not. Okay. My opinion doesn't mean shit. All right. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, just like a whole lot of other people. Okay. So me being a coach doesn't make me smarter or better. But as someone who's been in that position, I am not married to a player. Okay. I'm not. You could be here today and be gone tomorrow. You could be the best player in the world and do something stupid and your ass is off the team. Like, that's just the way it goes. So I'm not married to anybody on this team. Any player is available. Even Saquon Barkley. I love Saquon Barkley. I do not own a current New York Giants jersey except for Saquon Barkley. Okay? That's the only jersey I own. I bought it day one because I love the kid. I love the kid's attitude. I love the kid mentality. But he can go too. Like, there is nothing is safe here. If things go bad, like real bad, like as bad as they could go, nothing's sacred, nothing's safe, nothing at all. And I love Patrick Graham, but his ass ain't safe neither.
Pest. No mercy. No mercy.
Make a lot of good points, then.
You know what would be good if we could just play that song? It ain't safe. It ain't safe. It ain't safe. It ain't safe for the black or the white girl.
No one's safe in my world. I'm sorry. That's business. Easy,
right? Yeah.
This is business, man. This is business.
Hey, man. I said no one was safe going into this year besides Danny, Andrew Thomas, and Barkley. So you're on the same track as me. I get it.
Well, he's not on a track. He's in a car following the track.
So. Correct.
Following.
Yeah, yep. I'm all the way up in that train, man. So is Mage. Mage is the damn conductor.
All right, so let's move on to the Denver game. What are we looking for in the matchup versus Denver, offensively and defensively? What are the keys to victory here?
No, let's not go keys to victory here. What am I looking for? Saquon. I cannot wait for everybody to eat their fucking words. Eat their words, including Ian Rappaport's bitch ass. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. I've gotten Saquon slander this week. Everyone needs to get it out this system now, because once this season starts and they go back and fall in love with Saquon and his quads, I don't want to hear none of it. None of it. The limitations. Is Saquon going to be okay? Y'all about to realize my man's superhuman. And even with 12 touches, even if he gets 12 touches, I'm telling you, you're going to feel Saquon's impact on this game on Sunday. That's all I got to say about that. Saquon will be felt on Sunday. Oh, I can't fucking wait.
Let me just comment there, because you said something in the group chat about Barkley, but fantasy wise, I am advising people to proceed with caution.
Sure.
Just because I think they could ease him back in, not being hit in a while, but I do think he's going to get a limited number of reps. I think 10 points is doable in fantasy, but proceed with caution though.
All right, so from fantasy, if you got a solid RB3 and you're starting a receiver in your flex, go ahead. You can take the chance. But if you drafted Saquon in the first two rounds, I mean, you would have had to draft it really well to cushion that up. So that's why if you want to proceed with caution, that's fine, but I do a nut check. And I'm not worried about Saquon this week because of his limited carries. I'd be worried that the Denver defense is good. I want to look at it from that perspective. Everyone's scared about Saquon's limitations. I think that's jack shit. I mean, I'd probably worry about our offensive line getting a push against this really good defense. But honestly, I think Saquon's going to do his dirt, do his biggest pay dirt in the passing game, which is what he's going to do anyways in fantasy for the most part. And dude, I'm telling you, expect some screens, expect some easy ways to get him the ball. I wouldn't expect it all downhill. And maybe his rushes are going to be down, but I'm telling you, he's going to get a lot of passes in the passing game. You saw it in the limited clips we saw, a few wheels, a few flat routes. He's going to be involved in that passing game, and I think that'll make a world of difference. Routes,
comebacks.
Yeah, man. I think we'll get him in the passing game more than anything than the rushing game. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be worried about Denver's defense.
What about defensively? What do you want to see out of the Giants?
Not make Teddy Bridgewater make us look fucking terrible. That's pretty – Teddy's going to be accurate, but he better not fucking tear us up downfield. I mean, Teddy's Teddy. He's one of the most accurate passers last year. He's always been that way. So it's not like we're going to knock many balls down. Probably won't be able to turn the ball over much. If we can, we got to capitalize on that. But – yeah, keep the ball in front of you and make them chip away with field goals. I mean, the Giants play that game anyways, and that's what I probably expect out of this. But, yeah, don't let Teddy beat us deep, man. Live with that short shit, and, you know, he makes a career off that. That's fine, but you're not going to get beat on 3 points here, 3 points there. If he beats us, you know, over the top with KJ Hamler or Jerry Jeudy, we're in big, big trouble. So, yeah, keep everything in front.
What do you got, Pest?
So, honestly, I'm looking at game flow, okay? I think game flow has been our Achilles heel more than anything else over the course of the last few years. It's just game flow, right? Just managing what's happening, managing the momentum shift, and riding the wave when it's time to ride the wave. Offensively, we have to run the ball. We have to run the ball. This Denver Broncos secondary is scary, okay? Like, it's scary. And I'm just going to be completely honest. I don't trust our air game against this Denver Broncos team right now. Like, I don't. So we have to make them respect our ability to run the ball. Okay. If we can make them respect our ability to run the ball, then we can run some play action. Then we can run some screens. Then we can run some flats, some wheel routes, because they're going to be blitzing, anticipating the run. So we've got to establish the run in this game. We cannot be trying to beat them over the top every single chance we get. It's a recipe for disaster. Defensively, we got to make Teddy Bridgewater uncomfortable. We've got to make him uncomfortable. We have to scream at him all day long. And we're going to have to contain him because, you know, even though he's not like this super duper, you know, running quarterback, he can run. He can extend the play. And as it was said, he's accurate as hell. So we're going to have to scream at him. We're going to have to keep everything in front of us and kind of bend but don't break. And if we can do that and we can take advantage of the couple of times that the ball would bounce our way, because Giants have the worst luck on the planet with the ball bouncing their way. If we can take advantage of that, we can win this game. Will we do it? I don't know.
Well, I want to just build on what we were saying too. If there's a way to attack this Denver defense, it's their interior linebacker position. So running the ball helps set up play action.
Yep.
With Kyle Rudolph. But that's why I think Saquon's going to be a weapon. I probably should have specified that a little bit more, but yeah, I think Saquon out in space gets a linebacker on him, and that's really the biggest weakness. Their front is really good. Obviously, Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, we all know about. Their interior linebackers, not very good. So, Kyle Rudolph season two. Kyle Rudolph, let's see what he can do for us.
Y'all touched enough on the offense. I'm ready for the Saquon show. I'll be wearing my 2-6 jersey. Shep, I expect Shep to have a pretty big game. moving the chains. But my two X factors are going to be on the defensive side of the ball for us, the slot position. Jerry Jeudy's going to go back to his home. He's going back to the slot. You got Cortland Sutton back. Fant's going to be playing. So between Fant and Jeudy, the over the top and over the middle man, you know, you guys were talking about hitting and disrupting Teddy. You know, I would really like to see that come from guys like Peppers, but I don't think we're going to be able to do that, man. Peppers is going to have to be manned in the middle a little bit. And, you know, that slot position, dude, I don't know how I feel about Darnay Holmes going against Jeudy, but we shall see, right? We could see Rodarius Williams going in there a little bit, honestly.
I was just going to ask that question. Who's going to play slot? Is it going to be Holmes or Williams?
I mean, dude, it's just like the airline for me. I mean, it's going to be Holmes.
Or is it going to be McKinney or Love?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, they won't stop until they figure it out. So I expect Darnay Holmes to get the start in the slot, but it's probably not going to last long. And Fant, dude, Fant's going to be a problem, man, because we're going to have to put the safeties on him. And I would love Peppers up at the line of scrimmage, blitzing the shit out of Teddy. So I think those are the two X factors on defense for us, man.
Tim Murphy, you bring up something interesting about the defense. I do think Jabril Peppers can end up playing a little bit more in the box. He could be assigned to Fant possibly for that type of coverage. Now, the other thing is, too, if Jeudy is going to play in the slot, hey, maybe side a Dory Jackson over to play the slot. He can do that. Or if you want, even bring up Logan Ryan to play the slot as well. And then you can keep Xavier McKinney back there, and then you can rotate between Jabril Peppers and Julian Love at safety. Rodarius didn't look great in the slot. I do not want Rodarius playing in the slot, especially given the preseason. So if anything, move a Dory Jackson inside to play a slot. Let him be responsible for Jerry Jr. and have Rodarius play outside then. He's a bigger body guy. He matches up perfectly with someone like Cortland Sutton, too, if you got to move James Bradbury. So I think there's a lot of flexibility on that defense. I'm going to say defensively, star of the game, I'm going to give it to Azeez Ojulari. I don't give a shit what the unofficial depth chart says. I think that he's going to create some havoc this game. I think he's going to get to the quarterback. So I'm really looking forward to it on the defense. The offense is what scares the shit out of me.
Perfect segue, Mage. I want to jump in real quick because we haven't mentioned it yet, and I don't know if you're going with this, but I wanted to talk about wreak havoc. The matchup none of us have talked about yet, which is the glaring one, is obviously Bradley Chubb and Von Miller against our tackles. I mean, that's all we talked about in Andrew Thomas's debut with Pittsburgh. Everyone just wanted to rip him to shreds because he had to go against TJ and Bud Dupree the entire time.
I didn't talk about it for a reason.
We all did it, and I ignored it, but it's like.
Well, I was going to touch on the offense. The offense is the thing the one thing on this game that really is going to give me issues, agita, cause for concern. Mm-hmm. Because if the offensive line does look like shit, it's going to be the same fucking story all over again. I don't give a shit if we got Kenny Galladay outside. I don't give a shit if we got Kadarius Toney playing in a slot. I don't care about the weapons on offense. If Danny has 2 seconds to throw the ball, we're going to be in fucking trouble because he's going to make a mistake. And you cannot make a mistake against this defense. You got to play mistake-free football. That's a problem too, Tino, is I know we want to say that Saquon's ready to go. He's going to start, but this offensive line doesn't look good. Just look at it. Just think about how he looked against Pittsburgh. Saquon was very pedestrian. If this offensive line can't block, this offense is going to be stagnant versus Denver, and that scares the shit out of me. So I'm hoping that somebody implanted a chip into Jason Garrett's fucking head and, you know, it is going to be responsible for play calling, because they're going to have to be creative come this Sunday versus Denver, especially if we went over what the starting five is going to look like. And I mean, it doesn't make me feel good, guys.
Well, you want to know the problem with that is, and we can get the hot takes in 1 second because obviously we got to wrap this up, but there shouldn't be much interior line pressure, but they're going to get interior line pressure because we have no interior line. That's going to be the problem. And the biggest issue is that Fangio is their head coach. And if you remember in Chicago, my dude likes to blitz. And with a secondary that good, they run a lot of man-to-man. And yeah, we don't know about Golly. He'll probably play. Fine, he's a man-to-man beater because we could toss the ball up. But, I mean, other than Shep, some dudes aren't really getting open. So if they decide to lock us up man-to-man early and blitz Danny, I mean, I'll lead it into my hot take. Hot take, Danny turns the ball over 2 times. It's not a positive hot take, but it's the truth. Danny probably turns the ball over twice. But I don't think that means we can't win. I just, you know, our defense will have to do something to counterbalance that. Maybe not Danny, but I think we turned the ball over at least 2 times. That's not even that hot. That's probably average, actually. But that's my thought. Like, as I'm thinking this out, I mean, I just imagine us getting behind the eight ball. I mean, Pest talked about game script. I don't see our game script changing. Honestly, if the Giants are on par, they begin the season with a 3-and-out, and that's just the way we live. But, yeah, I'm worried about the turnover game, to be honest. And if we get behind the game script and we got to air it out, it's not going to be a good recipe for us. So, yeah. We got to take care of the ball. Hopefully that's not the case, but we got to take care of the ball.
Pass, give us one hot take for Sunday, buddy.
Due to our offensive performance, play calling duties will be removed from Jason Garrett and given to Freddie Kitchens.
Mid-game? Is going to have a mid-game?
I love it.
it could happen mid-game, but it's going to but because of the way our offense performs on Sunday, they're going to be like, yo, Jason, you can't call plays no more. Hey, Freddie, get your ass in there.
I'm in favor of it. Murph?
Young Joker gets a TD this weekend. Ooh. Shuts up all the damn haters.
Ooh.
And I love the fact that they asked Joe Judge on WFAN this morning when they were talking about Tony. They referred to him as Young Joker.
I mean, that's the man's name, Young Joker. He makes good music, too. He makes good music.
Hey, I like him. TD for Kadarius. We unlocked the man that everybody's been bitching about for 6 weeks.
Hey, you know what, Tino? You talk about a lot of those screenplays or wheel routes. To Murph's point, man, Kadarius Toney can spend some time in that backfield.
Mage, how do you beat man-to-man? How do you be man-to-man? Hat on a hat. Get your guys in space. I mean, I'll take Tony's speed one-on-one with any of those dudes any day of the week.
This is true. Because I wasn't thinking about, like, Tony. Not that I'm not thinking about him, and I don't think he's going to be good, because I think he's going to be good. But I wasn't thinking about him this week, right? But now that I think about it, right, getting you know, Tony in the backfield, getting him out in space, some screens, maybe some jet sweeps for him out of the slot, you know, maybe some, you know, dual running back sets, and you send Tony out to the flat, fake it to Saquon, give it over to him in the flat or something crazy like that. Like, you know what? Young Joker could make some noise. That might not be that hot of a take.
One thing that we've said here on the podcast all season long is that the big three would not hurt. Kenny Galladay is ready to go. Kadarius Toney's ready to go. We're not buying into the injuries. So I think everybody's ready to go. And like to Tino's point, man, if you're going to be able to isolate the blitz, do it out of a backfield, right? Make them not send eight anymore. If you're going to send eight, we're going to kill you with Kadarius Toney over the middle. Or we're going to kill you with Saquon Barkley over the middle. So, but that's going to wrap up this episode. So, Pest, one more time, just tell everybody where they can find you.
So you can find me pretty much on all platforms as PTA Sports, SPORTS, PTA Sports. If you want to interact with me on Twitter, you can find me at Pestalance, PESTALANCE. That's my Twitter. I'm super active on Twitter. If you at me, I will respond. And if you want to come hang out with me on YouTube, PTA Sports on YouTube, or PTA Sports on Twitch, where I play video games and talk sports pretty much all week long. So that's where you guys can find me. Again, thank y'all so much. I really appreciate this opportunity to come and talk a little bit of Giants football with y'all. This is a great time. Hopefully we can do it again. Maybe we'll get you guys on my channel in the future and we go from there. So again, thank you guys. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely, Pat. Thank you for joining us. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.